So how many bars do you have in Leedy? There you go. Oh, the COVID. Don't you love the pandemic? You may cut me back a little bit, if you don't mind. But I am a grace teacher, but I was raised in Pentecost, so sometimes my excitement is over the word. I will not scream at you. I was married. I will not scream at you. So, what an honor for you guys to have me. I appreciate that so much. And I'm glad Otis is here and not going to hell. Thank you, Otis. I give him hell every time I give him heaven every time I come here. You know, is it not nice to just be yourself? You know, if you guys don't know, and I'm not doing a promo, COVID has been an interesting time. I've traveled and ministered for 31 years. And this is a great time to be self-employed. Oh, come on, people, go with it. I schedule a year and a half out. I know where I'm going across the country, around the world. I know where I'm going for 31 years. And all of a sudden, it got shut down. And it was like, okay, either you trust your seed or you don't. Yeah. Because we were taught to say the right thing. And I know you guys do it here, and I think it's perfect. And I went to Rhema under Papa Hagen, not the school, but the church, for about 7 years. And it was God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But you can say that easily. Yeah. Too easily. Until you have a problem. Man, it's good to see you. All right, I'm not masked. Yeah, I know. But you know what? I believe this is one of the places, and I finally got to get out a little bit last week. I was in Indiana last week, Illinois, then Dallas, and just flew back and drove out here. And so it's nice to get out amongst them. But COVID has taught the church one thing. And I've heard a lot of pastors. I know a lot of pastors. And a lot of them complained, oh, we're having to do it online. And you know what it taught me? You're having to get over your ego of having people in front of you, because there is such an insecurity if you don't have people physically. It is a detriment to your acceptance. But then after a few months, they're like, oh my God, we're having more people watch online than we would have had in the church. And when you guys do tithe and offerings, I'm sure you've got it set up so people can do it online. You know, it's all the same. COVID, what was meant for evil, is actually turning out good. I hate over 2,000 or 200,000 people. I sounded like Biden then. I'm sorry. I am not politically correct, okay? And when you go to vote, don't get your butt in a prayer line for something you voted for, okay? Amen. What does Toby say? I ain't as good as I once was. Yeah, so anyway, I'm just me. And thank you for letting me meet, be me. But I do a Facebook, and it's not, I'm not trying to get your money. God's my source. But every Sunday morning, I'll do, depending on what time zone I'm in, usually at 9 o'clock, and I'll do a Facebook post of maybe a 20, 25 minute message. And what Pastor Mark was saying this morning, what I teach, and I'm 68 years old. I've been in this all my life. And I am not religious. I am spiritual. What's the difference? Religion is when you feel like you have to live someone else's convictions to be accepted by them. Spiritual, we've always said he's a personal savior, but we treated him like a denominational God. I am so free, it's crazy. I am absolutely, aren't you glad you're free? He that the Son sets free is totally free. You are free to be yourself. So go back and watch that video this morning. Even if I did teach it, it was good. I gave myself an offering. It's like, here, give that to yourself. But anyway, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a self-pleaser. Oh, my God. Is this going to be a tough crowd or what? I don't need my Bible, baby, because you're doing... Okay, I'm reading from the Quran. Oh, no, I'm not. God of mercy. Mark, we're going to have fun. I am finally free. Romans 12, the first verse. Now, this was the thought I woke up with. And I posted a little bit of this. And, oh, I should have told you, I'm not the tech guy. But Facebook, you know, years ago, my tech people that I use in the ministry was like, Mark, you need to get on Facebook. And I said, I really don't want to know you had a fried bologna sandwich for lunch. I have more things going on than commenting on your sandwich. But they said, no, it's become a visual tool. So I finally started putting some stuff on. And some time ago, I tapped into this just a little bit. And this is where it comes from. Does your faith wear you out in a struggle? It does. How worn out do you get in a battle? How much has COVID affected your faith? This is going to be good. Because, see, here's the thing. I went through a couple of years ago. I've always been 6'3". And, oh, come on. There we go. But, you know, I was always athletic. I had a lot of muscle. But over the years of traveling, I mean, airports and driving in a vehicle, you tend to put on weight. And one day, I was tying my shoes, and I thought, holy, there's some Greek scabola. Hagioscabola. There's Greek, holy crap. Amen. So hagioscabola, I'm breathing heavy. I tied one shoe, and I thought, I need a break. And thank God I'm not a spider. And so at that moment, oh, my God, we're going to have fun today. At that moment, I was like, I've got to lose some weight. So I went through, and in 2 months, I lost about 40 pounds. And now, I have suits and all that, but I'm a blue jean boot guy. And I have some jeans that I really, really like. And they're dress jeans. And, of course, if you buy those, they cost a little more than your Wranglers. I love my Wranglers. But if you're going to be around people, you know, and you're the one presenting, you want a little nicer jeans. So I pay a little more for those. Well, I lost so much weight that I went from a, maybe I'm being too honest, I didn't know I was coming to Dr. Phil this morning. But I lost so much weight, you can't alter the genes enough. And I took him to my alterations people I've used for years. He's an Asian guy. And I put on the genes and I said, Ty, if you will, I need these brought in. You can't, I lost 4 inches in my waist. And he's like, I put them on. He said, oh no, not good. It looked like you got one pocket. He said, you go buy new jeans. Okay, now I said all that to say this. I said all that to say that I am going somewhere. I'm not here to be the comedian. I mean, you're going to learn something today that's going to blow your mind and blow the hell out of the religion you were raised in. And so I was in, where was it? South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever. I was flying out. And I just grabbed some jeans out of the closet. It was a weekend meeting. I grabbed some jeans, and I had 2 or 3 pair. And I'd already worn the other 2 pair. I had 1 pair left for Sunday. And I loved those jeans. And I'm in the hotel getting dressed, and I put them on. I forgot, I sowed a lot of seeds in clothes. I forgot I hadn't sown that one. And I put them on, and when your jeans don't fit, oh, we are online. Oh, my God. Let me do it this way. When your jeans don't fit, they buckle up in the back, yada, yada. I put those things on, and it's like it doesn't even fit. Just like that, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, why do you think your faith fits? Are you living your own faith? Or are you living someone else's? Because if your faith wears you out, you're living someone else's faith. You've got to and I hope this is okay with you guys, but you've got to have your own faith. You have to father your own faith. We don't all have the same convictions. I probably live a little more loose than some of you guys. When I say live loose, I don't mean it that way. I'm just me. I'm just me. I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but honestly, if you can be offended, get over it. You're insecure. And that's just my mentality, you know? And so that started a thought process in me, how to discover your own faith. So now we'll read the Bible. There is some scripture involved in this, Pop. I'll guarantee you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed. We'll just keep going, baby. I'm sorry. I should have given you. I know you like a heads up, but you know me. We'll just flow. Don't be conformed to this world. Now, if you just read that, you're going to think this world is this world. No, the world the Apostle Paul was talking about was the religious world. Jesus had already died, resurrected, and ascended, but there were still some Jews that didn't believe it. And of course, the priests made their money by the sacrifice brought to the temple. And they were convincing people, you still need to sacrifice, or you're not right with God. They were still living Old Testament, Old Covenant. And so when he says, don't be conformed to this world, he was saying, why do you keep sacrificing, thinking you're not right with God? Jesus did not die as a man. He died as mankind. And he rose as mankind. He ascended as mankind. You were included. I was included in the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. So why would you feel like you need to ask him for anything? Because you live. How many was raised in church? Welcome to rehab this morning. I was raised in Pentecost where it was so constipated you'd go to hell for anything. No, honest to God, you know what I'm talking about. You appreciate some of the roots, but you've got to do some pruning if you want to grow. But here's the problem. Some people have never fathered their own faith. Let me get back to the Bible. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Next verse, please. Hurry up. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, this is where we get that religious mentality. I'm just an old slug. I'm nothing in God's sight. I'm so low I could play handball with the curb. This is where we get that. That is false humility. Because when you study the scripture, you know, you've got to study it in context. Who was he talking to? He was talking to people who were still made to feel guilty. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to confess this. Confess this. You know, and as a kid raised in church, that was a big thing. Come up here and confess your faults. And I remember as a little guy, well, I'm still little, but I was considerably younger. I was in church and I'm sitting on the pew. And they called this woman up. Well, they didn't call her up. She just felt guilty because she was raised in that atmosphere. And she come up and started confessing stuff. And I'm, as a kid, saying, phew, I don't think I'd be telling that. God is good all the time. But most of the church has yet to figure it out. And so when Paul says, don't think too highly of yourself, can I retranslate that? My doctorate's in theology. I don't want to be called doctor. I did that for me. I don't need the recognition. I just know how to study the scripture. Who he's talking to is the people who were made to feel guilty. Okay? Don't think more highly. Let me retranslate that to a Red River translation, if you don't mind. Stop bragging about what you've started doing and stopped doing. Your salvation has nothing to do with you. That's the good. I'm in a grace church, am I not? But to think soberly, what's it mean to think soberly? And I've got to get to my message. I have 17 pages of notes, and Pastor Mark said he usually lets you go by 1:30. But watch this. Think soberly. What does that mean to think soberly? Don't beat yourself up, but recognize what Jesus did. You're anointed as a believer no matter what. Somebody say, I'm anointed. I may not appreciate your convictions. You may not appreciate mine. But we have one thing in common. There is one Lord, one baptism, and one love. Because God has dealt to each one the measure. Somebody say, I have the measure. The measure of faith. That word measure comes from the Greek word metron. Metron is where we get our English word meter. Let me go back. He's dealt to each one. So it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian, Indian, doesn't matter. Everyone who believes in him has the same meter of faith. The question is, that I came here for, does your faith fit? Am I trying to wear your jeans, Mark? Am I trying to wear your jeans, Mark? Mark, sounds like a hair-lipped dog, don't it? I don't know where this is coming from. There is such, and baby girl Kayla, you did awesome on the praise and worship. And they are naming the next baby after me. But watch this. I have the measure. Now, watch this. Galatians 2, the 20th verse. Does your faith fit? Because my jeans didn't fit. It just didn't fit me anymore. When you try to wear someone else's faith, it can wear you out trying to be comfortable. You need to see that message this morning. That was good. I have been crucified with Christ. If you believe you've been crucified with Christ, how can you still have guilt? Yeah, I'm just curious. It is no longer I who live. So if you died in Christ, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, watch this. I live in the flesh. Somebody say the flesh. Now show me your hand again if you were raised in church. Okay. When we talk about walking in the flesh, years ago, we misconstrued what that was about. Walking in the flesh was a Christian that would spit out their dip before they walked in church, put out their cigarette. Well, that's walking in the flesh. No, The word flesh means the emotional man. Do you live by what you see, hear, smell, feel, and taste? It's too simple, people. I don't live by what I see, hear, smell, feel, and taste. I live by faith in the Son of God. In how quickly, baby, can you bring up the Bible Paul used, King James Version? Come on, people, that was a joke. Holy smokes. Y'all just got to go with it. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Even though I still have emotions, I have authority. How many remembers? Can we go to this quickly, baby? And we'll go back to Galatians 2:20, Acts 1:8. Mark, you're going to catch all of this today because I put her under stress. I'm sorry. That's not good. Did I tell you I'm leaving? But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now let's go back to Galatians 2:20. You cannot take one verse out of the Bible and make a doctrine out of it. You have to understand the totality of the concept. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. How do we live as a Christian? Because we know we have the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just a Pentecostal experience to run down an aisle, get some carpet time. That's not what it's about. The power of the Holy Spirit is knowing Christ lives in you. Watch this. And the life I now live in the flesh, retranslation, I have the power of the Holy Spirit so I can control my emotions. I live by the faith of the Son. How many believes Jesus had faith? You have the same measure. He received the same meter of faith that you received. The question is, does your faith fit, or are you living someone else's? So, being raised in church, and I love my, thank God I wasn't raised in an alcoholic home, a drug addicted home. I thank God for that. But there was a lot of stuff I was taught that was just not true. And I wanted to know God as a personal Savior. And so, how many's old enough that you remember going to Sunday school? Are y'all all heathens or what? No, I'm just kidding. Do you remember this song? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one of them, and so are you. Yeah. Oh, keep on, Jada. No, that's fine. I'm going to love you either way. But no, but watch this. We were taught Abraham is the father of faith. So naturally, when I moved and shifted, now don't misunderstand me. I'm still Pentecostal by the understanding the power. But I shifted into the Word of Faith movement where I believe speaking to the mountain. But then I shifted in to understanding grace so I could actually believe what I say to the mountain. No, and I'm going to be honest, and I know this is online, but do you hear me? I got nothing to lose. there are some Word of Faith churches that will not have me back. Just like, there you go. Because I teach too much grace. Because I can't control you unless I make you feel guilty. They have never fathered their own faith. And so when I got hungry and understanding how to study the Hebraic, the Judaic, the Aramaic, the Greek, I got hungry to know Him. For myself. So many people, even in your congregation and watching online, do not know God for themselves. They know a feeling, but they don't know a character. And I thought, okay, Abraham is the father of faith. I want to be like Abraham. Well, why not? You want to be like the father of faith. Amen. And so I started studying. And let's go. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. I called your wife baby. That's just me. But let's go to, and I'll condense this. In Genesis, the 16th chapter, the first verse, and we'll go through the third verse. So I wanted to do a little research because I want to be like this guy. You know, if you want to be successful, hang around successful people. Let me tell these people. If you want to be successful, hang around successful people. And so in my young days of being hungry to know truth, my God, I want to be like the father of faith. You know? And so I studied our father of faith. And I'm not telling you this to disdain Abe and Sarai. I'm just bringing an awareness to it. I am out to make church great again. There'll be hats and t-shirts to follow. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, and I'll move through this quickly. I hope you're getting the concept. When you leave here today at 12 o'clock, and I'll be done at 12, when you, isn't that right? Okay. When you leave here at 12, I want you to go find your own faith. You have never lived happier than when you have your own convictions, not afraid of what people are going to think about you. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, which is olive skin. I just threw that in. It will be an adjective to the story later. Whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abraham, "Behold, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. So I'm begging you, can I retranslate? Can we go back to New King James, baby?" Yeah, because none of us talk that way. And that, as a kid growing up in Pentecost, they'd have messages in tongues, and I'd be outside playing tag before church, but you got to be in the pew at the right time and be quiet. And I'd hear some of the guys out there, and they're talking redneck. You know, it was Jeff Foxworthy all over again. "How you doing?" "I'm all right." Those same guys would come into the church and interpret the message in tongues, and all of a sudden they've turned Elizabethan. It's like, dude, you don't even talk that way. Because everybody thought God was King James. More people, and I'll say this up front, and you may not have me back after this. King James has been more worshipped as God than Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Because people believe a translation instead of the spirit of the word. And the Apostle Paul said, the letter kills, but the spirit makes it alive. Sir, I don't know that I know you, but what you beat yourself up over that you can't kick, I set you free. And I wouldn't embarrass anybody, but I was just supposed to tell you. So here's Sarah. She goes to Abe and says, Abe, I know God told you back in Genesis 12, 13 years earlier, that he's going to give you a seed that will produce many nations, and the sands of the sea will not even be able to give them numeric value. So since he has kept me, how many's ever blamed God for not doing something? Poof, don't raise your hand. We all have. God, I don't know why you did that. Back in the Pentecost days, our song was, we'll understand it in the by and by. Well, that's dope smoking. I mean, he wants you to know. Okay? And so here, it's a Texas translation, but watch this. She says, Abe, I'm really mad at God because he gave me a prophecy 20 years ago and it still hasn't happened. And I make fun of that stuff because I was raised with it, so bear with me. Maybe I'm the one that needs Dr. Phil. I'll call him Pastor Phil. And so Sarai comes in to Abe and she says, look, God has kept this from happening. So I've got this beautiful little Egyptian olive skin, and I want you to go into her so we can have a child. And Abe was like, honey, I would never do that to you. Let's go see the father of, remember, Father Abraham. Let's see how good Elmo was. Watch this. Next verse. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that commanding. And yeah, we can go to the fourth verse. So he went in to Hagar. He didn't say, honey, I would never be adulterous to you. I would never be with another woman while I'm in covenant with you. I don't think that's what she's like, honey, I want you and Hagar to go away to Dallas for a weekend. And he's like, okay. Oh my God. So when I'm studying, oh, come on, people, lighten up. Holy smokes, Abraham's not God. He's been called the father of faith, but I want you to see the father we're supposed to be like. He got mad at God because God hadn't done what he wanted. He slept outside of his covenant marriage. Father Abraham had many sons. Don't think I'm disdaining Abe. We'll get to the end of this, and if you're watching online, don't click off. There is a truth to stuff that I had never seen. Somebody say, I have the measure. You have the same faith Jesus had. Look at Genesis 17th chapter, the 15th verse. And we'll read a few verses from there. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you will not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Somebody say, ugh. No, I'm serious. Say, ugh. Ugh. In the Hebrew language is a phonic, which means godlike. Now, here's a woman that just abandoned God's voice. Here's a man that abandoned God's voice, but God said, I'm still calling you godlike. So is God good? He's good all the time. In spite of you getting frustrated at him, he said, I still see you in the same measure of faith. Are y'all getting anything out of this? You'll not call her Sarai, but Sarah. I am Mark. And I will bless her and give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Now watch this. Father Abraham, who we're supposed to be after. That's the way we were religiously trained. Now, here's the thing. Have you fathered your own faith? Some people say, are you a Christian? Well, I'm Baptist. Why are you Baptist? Well, that's the way I was raised. In other words, I have never, and I'm not demeaning the Baptists. They knew they were saved before the Pentecost did. No, seriously, I can flow with anything, baby. But I look at that and I think, okay. And God told Abraham, I'm going to give her a child. Now watch this. Here's Father Abraham. He and his wife Sarai, at the time, Sarai, had totally abandoned God's voice, and they were going to do their own thing. Okay? But Abraham was the father of faith. Here is the contingency and the congruency of how the scripture lines up. I studied this through, and I was like, I would say Noah would have been the father of faith. Here's a guy that built a boat 3 football fields long, 1 football field wide, and it hadn't even rained yet. I would say Noah's the father of faith. But as I studied more, Noah never left his father Lamech's faith. Abraham was called the father of faith because he left his father and mother to develop his own faith. Does your faith fit? I put on those jeans in Augusta, and I thought, oh my God. Does your faith where you at? Is it a struggle in your battle? Then your faith doesn't fit. Because when you truly walk in your own faith, you don't fulfill the lust of your emotions. Is this too heavy? Now, we started off lighthearted because I knew where I was going to take you. And the Bible says laughter is good like a medicine. And the word is medicine. But sometimes the only way to hear the truth is when you can laugh at yourself. And so if I have a little more comedicness about me, it's not my intent. Where'd the Bible go? Oh, there it is. Now watch this. Are y'all having fun? Man, thanks for having me. I'm having a blast. Abraham fell on his face and laughed at God and said in his heart, "Shall I be shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" Next verse. And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that..." Well, we can't get into that. Let's go somewhere. No, that we need to do an extended time. Genesis, the 18th chapter, the 10th verse. I don't want you to leave here hating Abraham. I want you leaving here saying, "Oh, I'm ready to father my own faith." Stop calling yourself Baptist, Assembly of God, Pentecostal. Quit. I'm just a Christian. I have my own faith, and He is my personal Savior. 18th chapter, 10th verse. God says, "I'll certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was listening in the tent, which was behind. Next verse, please. And Sarah and Abraham were well old and advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. And Sarah laughed in herself. We call that mocking. You don't do it out loud. It's kind of like, okay. When I gave you that word, son, a while ago, you could have laughed in yourself, but you didn't show it physically. So that's what it means. And you're about to have a new chapter.
I'm ready.
Yeah. You are. Before He ever gave me the pulpit, God said to tell you that. Yeah. And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I've grown old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" Because somebody say, "God knows my thoughts." Now, hear me. How long are you going to feel convicted over bad thoughts that God knows, but He doesn't even consider? There's people confessing sin over something they never done. They just had the thought about it. I was just curious. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." That was not a belch. That was the Hebrew phonic. But Sarah, now watch this. Sarah denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh," because she was afraid. But God said, "No, you did laugh." So all I did, and I've taken a little time. I'm sorry, I am moving. I've got 7 minutes. But here's a family. They abandoned God's voice, didn't do what He told them, stopped believing it was going to happen, and made their own provision. Abraham openly laughs at God, on his face laughing. And then Sarah is laughing at him, and then she lies about laughing at him. Father Abraham. Oh, yeah, father your own faith, baby. Now, let's go to the book of Romans, and we'll do this quickly. Romans, the 4th chapter. They pay me more if I cut off on time. Romans, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse, and we'll go through the 21st verse. Because I was raised in the Oklahoma educational system where we still pay our landscapers more than our educators. And so I can't read past 6 verses. Now, he's talking, oh, come on. Oh, yeah. Vote right, people. Holy smokes. Romans 4:18. Now, the Apostle Paul, and I'll condense this. The Apostle Paul is talking about Abraham. Watch. Now, we just spent 20 minutes with Abraham and Sarah, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he may become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, oh my God, I think, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, but I did do it well. Not, and I'm one number away from calling you, amen. I'm sorry, you got to have a little Luke Combs. And so, not being weak in faith, I think Abe was a little weak in his faith when he took the Dallas trip. Okay? So we're talking about the same guy. So as a scholar of the word, you're wondering, there is no congruency here. The old covenant does not even line up with the new. But watch. I told you, I'm not going to trash Abe. It only sounds like it right now. I'll hug him one day. He did not consider his own body. I think he's the one that told the Lord, I'm 100 years old, and Sarah is 90, and you're telling me I'm still going to have a child, and he falls on his face and laughs? Since he was about 100 years old, oh, I think I said that, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, think I said that, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. You've got to be kidding me, Pop. That's the same guy. Next verse, please. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, what kind of glory did he give? He laughed at God. We've all done it. When God gave you this vision, in your mind, oh, am I out of camera? Am I okay? Do I look good? No, I'm just kidding. I've got 3 minutes now. I've got to quit. But being strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So you understand the concept. Old Testament doesn't even sound like this. Next verse, please. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. What's this? Every work you're proud of does not give you more credit with God. The only faith he sees in you is the same faith Jesus had. I spent years, and I probably did it here too over these years. You need to build your faith. If you can build your faith, then you were not given the same measure as Jesus. Well, Mark, the word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can I retranslate that from a translation. Faith comes by awareness of who you are, and your awareness comes from understanding what he says. I remember years ago when I was traveling full time. Well, I still travel full time except for COVID. But when I was traveling in the lengthier meetings, Sunday to Wednesday, Sunday to Friday, Sunday to Sunday, and I'd be out 3 or 4 weeks in a row, I pulled a trailer with all the big sound equipment, video equipment, and all of that. In those days, I would go around so much that I would trade my vehicle every couple of years because you have to have a write-off. And once you reach a limit, you can't write it off anymore. So I was constantly trading. And I had just gotten a vehicle, I don't know, a few months before, but we had a family cookout, and my brother come over, and he said, "Do you have your keys on you?" Thank you, babe. My brother come over, and he went in the shop and saw the new SUV, and he said, "Man, that's nice, Mark." Now, how many remembers when remote start came? And Mark, I'm at 12 o'clock. And I'm going to quit, but you're going to get this. He went in the shop and he said, "Man, that's a nice vehicle." And this was back when remote start first came out. And he comes out of the shop, and I'm out there grilling, and he said, "Man, that's nice." And I tossed him the keys and I said, "Take it for a spin, man. It's my brother." He looks at the key fob and he says, "Oh, you've got remote start." I said, "I've got what?" Now, I've had the thing a few months. He said, "Yeah, Mark." Now, understand, I'm a guy. I don't read the instruction manual. I know how to start a car and drive it. And so he said, "Yeah, just honk the horn twice and press that button, and you can leave your AC on, your heat on." I said, "David, you are kidding me." He said, "No." I said, "I had it the whole time." You've had the faith of Jesus the whole time. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Next verse, please. Now, this was not written just for his sake alone. Can I retranslate that? You cannot blame Abraham for his failures. See, I'm not dogging Abe. It came across like in the beginning. For his sake alone, it was imputed to him. Next verse. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, up from the dead. Retranslation. God does not see your faults. He does not see your failures. You have the same faith as Jesus. What was the faith of Jesus? "I am one with the Father. And whatever I say to the mountain, the mountain's got to obey me because I believe in what I say." You have the same faith the Father gave Jesus. I have it. Otis, even you have it, man. Of all people. Even though I'm just, I mess with him so bad. But we all have the same faith Jesus had. "Well, I just don't think my faith's strong enough." You're just not aware of the faith you have. And so here's how you pray. Father, wake me up to who I am so I can father my own faith. I don't live my dad's convictions anymore. I don't live yours. I don't live yours. Why can we not love God and be ourselves? That is Christianity. Not trying to fit in someone else's mold. You need to go on Facebook and see that message this morning. Well, I held you guys 4 minutes after, and that'll be docked from my pay, and I just need a cheeseburger and gas to go home. So anyway, I encourage you from this day forward, don't disdain, don't become critical of how you were raised. I went through that stage. I'm not critical anymore. It made me investigative. And so I found out I'm okay. I'm totally okay. Well, Mark, why do I need to know I'm okay? So when Kayla comes up and leads worship, you can be free to worship, even though you did something that the old mind would have told you you're not worthy. I just came here to tell you, you're worthy. If Abe can sleep outside of his marriage, laugh at God, and Sarah lie to him, I'm not telling you go sleep outside your marriage. Holy smokes. Don't do that. You'll end up losing a lot. Don't do that. But I'm saying if God does not judge them, then who told you you were naked? I call you free. I call you blessed. And I call me gone. Because I'm 6 minutes over. I'm sorry, man. But I hope y'all got something today. I know what I teach a lot of times goes against tradition, but you can actually study what I teach and it's there. And so I want you guys to not be ashamed of the gospel. Be free to be yourself and give all the glory of that freedom to God. Amen. Father, I call this house blessed. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just a minute, and simply not out of a religious thing, but some people are a little more, they don't want to be exposed. No one's looking around but me. I'm going to ask you today, is there anyone here you say, Mark, I am so ready to father my own faith? Show me your hand. All over this building. Father your own faith. I call you blessed. Now you can look at me. See, that was my favorite movie is Tombstone. Val Kilmer, Kurt Russell. There you go. Now we can be friends. Amen. My mind, squirrel. Amen. I'm a... yeah. Anyway, I call you guys blessed. I call you whole. I call you healed. And I release you to go father your own faith. And the Holy Spirit talk to you in a language you understand and can live in that freedom. Everybody said amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Word. Everybody learned something today? I always love when Mark comes and shares the word, because I always learn something as well. I'm going to father my own faith, amen? I want you to go back there, and I know Mark, did you bring some resources with you, Mark?
No,
okay, that's all right. But you can go back and visit with Mark and get on his, I'm on it, I get his monthly CD teaching, and I'll put it in my pickup and listen to it, and listen to it, and it teaches me things and makes me dig into the Word. I love when I'm challenged to dig into the Word. Amen. And so I encourage you to go dig into the Word. But go back there and visit with Mark. We've got a basket back here at the back. If you'd like to give into Mark's ministry, just make it out to HFC, and we'll make sure that he gets it. So there's a basket back there for that. But we're going to bless Mark as well. The church is. But if you want to give, there's a basket back there for that. All right, I'm going to speak a blessing over you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to father my own faith. All right. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week. See you next Sunday. Awesome word.